Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
You know, I can remember the very first time I watched the Lord of the Rings movie. I took my girlfriend with me, Yannette, who's now my wife, and I sat through 3 hours of this movie. It was pretty intense and entertaining, but it had the worst ending of a movie I'd ever seen. In fact, when I left the cinema there after the 3 hours, I was disappointed. It was a terrible ending because the bad guys had won. Of course, what I didn't realize at the time was that it was only the first installment in a trilogy of movies and that it in fact did have a good ending. As we focus today on the resurrection, which is part two of the Easter story, we also realize that God's story of redemption is not complete without the resurrection. You know, on Friday, we focused on the cross of Jesus and we see that he was put to death. Everyone was sad and dejected. The disciples had deserted him. Judas had betrayed him. The soldiers had crucified him. And it would seem that the bad guys had won. And no doubt the devil himself was celebrating. But thank God that there's a second half to the story, the resurrection of Jesus. You see, if everything ended with the cross of Jesus and he died for our sins but paid the price in full, but if there was no resurrection after that, well, we'd have to ask ourselves, well, what was the point of it all? But the resurrection completes God's great story of redemption. We see that our sin is paid for in full, and through the resurrection, Jesus gives us life, but not just life, abundant life and eternal life, because he overcame death, sin, and the grave through the resurrection. I want us to read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and these are the words of the Apostle Paul, who himself underwent an incredible life transformation after meeting Jesus. And he writes from verse 3 and he says, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Verse 7, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me." And notice how he finishes. He says, "and not without results." Paul here speaks of his own radical transformation because he had seen and encountered the risen Jesus. If you know anything about Paul's background from his New Testament letters, he was a religious fanatic. He was a Pharisee. He persecuted Christians. He had them imprisoned and tortured and killed others. But then he has this radical change of heart because of the power of the risen Jesus that was in him that began to be outworked through him. Paul's life changed so dramatically. He first underwent a name change. He was previously known as Saul. He then became known as Paul. His calling changed. His purpose changed. Rather than persecuting the church, he spends the rest of his life trying to build the church of Jesus. His heart changed. Everything about the life of the Apostle Paul changed. And it's interesting to observe and important to note that it wasn't just behavior modification that Paul went through. He went through radical life transformation. You know, if you've ever seen pictures or documentaries on TV about the life cycle of the caterpillar that turns into a butterfly, you will know that that is a radical transformation that takes place. You know, you don't look at the butterfly afterwards and go, "Oh yeah, now I can see the caterpillar." It just looks like a caterpillar with wings that have been attached to it. No, no, that is a new creature. It is a new creation, if you like. The caterpillar is now unrecognizable as the butterfly. And I think, like Paul, it wasn't just behavior modification that took place in Paul's life. He didn't just go to a few anger management courses and just, you know, tempered his zeal a little bit and now hurt a few less people than he previously had hurt. No, he wasn't the same guy anymore. He was a completely different and transformed man because of the resurrection of Jesus and the power attached to it that had now begun to outwork in the life of Paul. You know, God's intent for us has never just been to change our behavior or to make us nicer people and more pleasant people and being more accommodating to others. Of course, all those things are necessary, but that's not what Jesus died for. Jesus died to pay the price for our sins, but he was then raised to life on the third day so that we too can experience complete life transformation. And I want to speak to you on this Easter Sunday on the life-transforming power of the resurrection. The life-transforming power of the resurrection. Many of you might have heard of a guy called Lee Strobel. He is an investigative journalist, and he was a self-professed atheist who used to hate the church, hate the Lord, and he did everything he could to disprove Christianity. But in the process, he too had a radical encounter with the risen Jesus, and everything in his life changed from that moment onwards. And one of the things that he's most known for saying is this, and you've probably heard me share this with you before. He says, Jesus Christ did not come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live. You know, God is not wanting to just smooth out a few rough edges on our life. He's not wanting to just put a bit of makeup on our faces so that we can seem to be a little bit different. No, Jesus died to remove all our sins, but then he was raised to life so that you and I can be transformed into his likeness and therefore become a new creation. I want to look at a couple of things today that the resurrection does in our lives and the transforming power that it has in changing us into the person that God has created us to be. The first thing we see of the resurrection is that it transforms failure into victory. You know, Peter was one of the 12 disciples. He was the leader of the 12, and Peter knew and understood about failure. You might remember shortly before Jesus was crucified, Peter was the man who stuck his neck out and he said, oh Lord, I'll stick with you to the end. I'll even die with you. Even if everyone else betrays you and leaves you, Lord, I'm there. You can count on me, Jesus. But then we know Peter denied Jesus. And the Bible records when Jesus had been arrested and was facing trial in Luke 22, verse 61, it says that the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And then he went outside and wept bitterly. You know, we realize here that Peter had failed Jesus. Peter had deserted and denied Jesus. Peter had messed up. And I'm pretty sure in that moment, Peter had never felt like more of a failure in his entire life. You know, I think we can all relate to this. We've all made commitments to the Lord. We've all made commitments to others that we failed to follow through on. And perhaps we too now feel like a failure. Maybe your marriage has failed. Maybe your business has failed. Maybe as parents, you failed to raise your kids correctly. Maybe you've made some poor decisions. And all of these things can make us feel as if we're a failure. But thank God that the resurrection turns failure into victory. You know, shortly after Jesus ascended to heaven, we read of Peter again, and we see now that he's a completely changed and transformed man. He had seen the risen Jesus, he had walked with him and talked with him, and Peter finally had the revelation that his failure was not final. And so we read of him in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and it says, Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. That's quite amazing. The very first sermon that we see in scripture that Peter preaches, 3,000 people get changed. He preaches with clarity and boldness, and clearly he's a man who has been transformed from failure into victory. You know, Peter would have probably thought that his mistakes could perhaps not be reversed, but the resurrection reverses death and the grave, and therefore can reverse our mistakes and all our failures, even the very worst of them. A man by the name of Robert Flatt says, "The resurrection gives my life meaning and direction and the opportunity to start over no matter what my circumstances." You know, if you're listening today and you need a new start, can I just encourage you? There is a fresh start available for you because Jesus has overcome death and has been raised to life. The second thing about the resurrection is that it transforms fear into faith. In John chapter 20, verse 19, the Bible says that when it was evening on the first day of the week, the followers were together. The doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. Then Jesus came and stood right in the middle of them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the followers were thrilled when they saw the Lord. Here we see the disciples afraid. They were fearful that they would perhaps be subject to the same punishment that was inflicted upon Jesus. They were hiding. They were cowering away. But Jesus comes into their midst and immediately he brings peace to the situation. Can I just remind you that whenever Jesus is given permission to come into your life and your situation, fear will always be removed and your faith levels will increase. Today, you might be afraid of the future. You might be afraid of this uncertain season that we're in. You might be afraid because you're unable to work. There's no work available for you. You might be afraid that you've got no income coming in, but yet the bills are still requiring payment. You might have fear because you can't seem to provide for your family. You might be fearful of getting sick or getting the coronavirus. But just a reminder that whenever Jesus is allowed into the room of your life, he will always bring peace. And when he brings his peace, faith increases because fear decreases. You know, I think unfortunately too many Christians live as if this is the only life that we have. You know, when you realize that Jesus has been raised to life, as a Christian, you realize that the very worst that can happen to you is that you can die and then you go be with Jesus for all eternity. And when you live with an understanding that Jesus defeated death in the grave, you live not scared of taking risks, not afraid of having a go in life, not fearful of stepping out into the unknown, and not fearful of what people will say about you. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He's overcome death. He's been raised from the dead. And you and I also have the hope that we too will one day be raised from the dead. Romans 8 verse 11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." That's you and me today. "And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." You know, someone once said that the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. Can I just encourage you today? You don't have to wait any longer to begin to live the life that God has created you to live. He's given you purpose. He's got a great hope for your future. He's got a plan for your life. And even though it's a season of lockdown, you can begin to live according to God's best for your life because Jesus is alive. He's on the throne of heaven and he's defeated sin and the grave. He transforms our fears into faith. The third thing about the resurrection is that it transforms discouragement into hope. The Battle of Waterloo is a great historical event that has been recorded. It took place on the 18th of June, 1815. And this was a significant battle in that it marked the end of the Napoleonic Wars, which took the lives of 5 million people across Europe. The French were under the command of General Napoleon, and the Allies that constituted of the British, the Dutch, and the Germans were under the command of a guy called the Duke of Wellington. During this war, the people of England depended on a signaling system to find out how the battle was going. And on the day of the battle, from the Winchester Cathedral, the lights flashed to signify and give this message to the people: Wellington defeated. Just at that moment, there was a cloud, that English fog that began to settle in, and the people weren't able to see the rest of the message. Well, as a result of reading that Wellington was defeated, they became distressed. They were distraught. They thought that the enemy had defeated them. There was sadness and gloom that descended upon the city because they had lost the war. But a little while later, that fog then lifted and the sun came through again, and they were able to see the completed message. And the message read, Wellington defeated the enemy. That discouragement was turned into hope, and defeat was turned into victory. You know, I think for those who saw Jesus being brutally crucified on the Friday, I think they probably got a similar signal from what they saw. They probably saw the situation as Jesus defeated. But when Sunday came and that stone was rolled away and Jesus came back from the dead and was clearly now alive, that message changed completely. Everything changed. And now it perhaps read, Jesus defeated the enemy. Jesus defeated the grave. Jesus defeated the power of sin. You see, when Jesus died, everyone was discouraged. Hope was lost. People gave up, especially those who looked to him and believed that he was who he said he was. You know, I think this season of lockdown that we find ourselves in has become a discouragement for many. People are losing hope. Many South Africans can't see a brighter future for our nation, or we can't see that things will one day ever get better. You know, I just saw this week that the rand dropped to its lowest level ever, 19 rand against the American dollar. People in business are wondering whether business will ever be revived and whether we will ever get out of this financial crisis. But let me just remind you that God is in the business of turning discouragement into hope. He's not finished yet. He's not done with my life. He's not done with your life. He's not finished with our nation. And he's not finished with what he's busy doing in the world. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Peter writes and says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, you and I always have hope when we have Jesus. There might be a whole lot of other things that we don't have, but we always have hope with Jesus. He's the hope of humanity, and God is in the resurrection business. An author by the name of Zemi Stewart says, God is still in the resurrection business. He's resurrecting dead marriages, dead attitudes, dead businesses, and barren wombs. He's resurrecting what we have long thought was dead. He's rejuvenating what we thought would never be inhabitable again. You know, we all love happy endings to stories. I often read books to my six-year-old daughter, Abigail, and she only likes stories that have good endings. And, you know, I think we can look at this resurrection story of Jesus and kind of sentimentally go, "Ah, well, isn't that a happy ending?" But if that's all you think it is, well, then you've really missed the point of the story, because the resurrection is not a happy ending. It's a new beginning. It's a new opportunity for us. It's a new day for us. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and our discouragement can be turned into hope. Another thing that the resurrection does is it transforms doubt into declaration. You know, one guy who usually gets a mention around at Easter time every year, and usually for all the wrong reasons, is a guy called Thomas. Thomas was one of the 12 disciples, and the Bible records in John chapter 20, verse 24, and says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'Thomas, we've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.' Well, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.'" And then I love Thomas's response in verse 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." You know, Thomas has developed the name amongst Christians as Doubting Thomas. And I think that's a bit unfortunate for Thomas, because that's simply who he was before he encountered the resurrected Jesus. But having seen the risen Jesus, Thomas's response is very different. And I wonder perhaps whether, instead of being doubting Thomas, whether we should refer to him as declaring Thomas, because Thomas's declaration of Jesus is incredibly powerful. He responds and he says, "My Lord and my God." What a great declaration of faith that is. You know, I think before seeing Jesus, Thomas perhaps represents all of us who are skeptical at times, and sometimes we sit on the fence and we're reluctant to be fully committed to the things of God. You know, we're happy to be in, but we're not all in, if you like. But when you have that revelation and understanding that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that he is alive, that he's defeated sin, that he's overcome death, you and I don't have to sit on the fence anymore. And like Thomas, rather than being doubtful and skeptical, we too can boldly profess that Jesus is both who he said he is, Lord and God. Thomas had seen Jesus die, but he'd seen him raised to life. It changed his heart, it changed his testimony, and it changed the words that came out of his mouth. You know, perhaps today you have some doubts about who God is, or what God is capable of doing in your life. Perhaps you doubt the goodness of God today. Maybe you doubt the love of God. Maybe you doubt the faithfulness of God. Maybe you doubt the provision of God in the season that we're in. But when you are certain about the resurrection, doubt is removed and it is praised with a heart that declares Jesus Christ to be both Lord and God. And when he's Lord and God, you can profess that he loves you, that he's for you, that he's not against you, that he will protect you, that he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you, no matter what you have to face or endure through the season. Let me give you one more thought about the resurrection. Fifthly, it transforms death into life. Nicky Cruz is a man that some of you might have heard of. He was born in 1938. Today, he's still a Christian evangelist and preacher, and he does a lot of work with troubled teenagers. He wrote a well-known book called Run, Baby, Run, and he tells his life story here. He grew up in Puerto Rico, and he was raised by parents who were into witchcraft and all sorts of occultist practices. His parents abused him. They told him he was useless, that he would never become anything in life. In fact, his own mother would refer to him as the son of Satan. He also lived in the worst neighborhood in Puerto Rico, and Nicky Cruz was just one of those guys who was always getting into trouble. At the age of 15, his parents decided, they're washing their hands of him, they sent him to live with his older brother in New York. And Nicky Cruz very soon became a member of the Mau Mau gang, which at the time was the most violent and most feared gang in New York. A little while later, he was raised up through the ranks, and eventually he became the leader of this gang. But at some point, Nicky Cruz met a young preacher who boldly declared Jesus to be both Lord and God. He told Nicky Cruz of the cross of Jesus and his resurrection power. Nicky Cruz got radically saved, and God completely changed him and transformed his heart and his life, and he devoted himself fully to the cause of Christ. You know, all the limitations his parents had put upon him, the neighborhood he grew up in, the upbringing he had, all the death and destruction that people had spoken over his life, all the sin he had committed, all of that was washed away because Jesus died for his sins, but also because Jesus was raised to life, and therefore Nicky Cruz could also be raised to new life. Ephesians 2 verse 5, Paul says that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. You know, God gives life to things that are dead or things that appear dead. Today, maybe your marriage appears dead. God can breathe new life into it. Today, perhaps your business is dying. God can breathe new life into it. Maybe your dreams for the future are dying. God can breathe new life into that. Perhaps your health has taken a turn for the worse. God can breathe new life into your body right now in this moment. Because if God can raise to life the broken, beaten, mutilated body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then surely he can breathe new life into your circumstances today. Clarence Hall, a Christian author, once said that the resurrection of Jesus changes the face of death for all his people. Death is no longer a prison, but a passage into God's presence. You know, as Christians, we don't have to fear death. Death is not a prison for us. It is simply a doorway into eternity and into the presence of God. You know, someone I greatly admire was the late Dr. Billy Graham, powerful evangelist who shared the gospel with millions of people around the world. And sometime before his death, he was quoted as saying this. He said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it." He said, "I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will be in the presence of God." What a great encouragement from the great Dr. Billy Graham there. You know, in John chapter 11, we read shortly before Jesus raised his friend Lazarus back to life that he had a very important conversation with Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And Jesus told her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" You know, that same question Jesus still asks to all of us today. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus died for our sins? Do you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead? Because our belief in that is the hinge upon which our faith hangs. If we don't believe in the redeeming work of the cross, and we don't believe that Jesus defeated death, we cannot be saved from our sins. Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved."
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.